Reading from Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And turning to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Two great verses. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, March 15th, 2022. It's Testimony Tuesday, and you know what that means. I get to introduce you to a special guest or special guests, and this is the case for today. I have two new friends, June Carol Agama, and I've seen you at, I think, a share-a-thon or come into our open house or something, so, and you may hear your voice once in a while on the air because we taped a little radio announcement, but this is the first time I'm getting to meet up with your husband, Dr. Edom Agama, and you serve in the greater Springfield area, and you've been a doctor for how many years?
Well, a long time, since 85.
Since 85, so
yeah, like almost 37 years.
37 years, and so I'm glad that, June, you brought him along, so I get to visit with him. And so I'm going to start right off the bat on this Testimony Tuesday, a little of the love story, because as I read your book, and we're going to talk about this, Carol's Closet by June Wood Agama, and it's a fascinating book. It's one of the few times I got to read it from cover to cover. I spent a couple of weeks, you sent it to me some months back, but I finally finished it the other night and was ready for today's Testimony Tuesday program. But I want to get to know your husband a little more, too. And as I read the book, you were praying to God for a wife, a godly woman, somebody that could come alongside and be your partner. And you seemed to think June from the get-go was the one. Tell me how you discerned or knew that she was the one God was raising up for you.
Yeah, I'm one of those people who like to plan and do things methodically. Mm-hmm. And one of the things as a young Christian I thought to do, I could plan my destiny, plan my future, and plan when I'm going to get married and who I'm going to get married to. Growing up in Ghana, we had a closely knit family. So we meet people that you could get into a relationship with. Mm-hmm. And you get to know them and then introduce them to your family. And usually, there's usually not the warm reception. So when I was living in Ghana, I'm not married, and a young physician coming to the United States, I'm going to be lost, you know, departed from the community. And so it was something which was distressing to everybody close to me, including myself, that we didn't have anybody that I could call my wife or my future partner. But I've been praying, and Braden told me I should just continue praying and God will bring someone into my life. So when I came to the United States, I was always praying that Lord should guide me and help me to study. I came here to learn. I came here to acquire knowledge and improve my education. I didn't come looking for a wife. But something happened when I came to the United States. It was in New Orleans that I had an opportunity to go to school at LSU. And my apartment was behind a church called Berean Bible Church. Mm-hmm. On the different side of town. That's on the west bank of New Orleans. And so I went to that church and was able to build a relationship with some of the young adults in the church. And it was predominantly a white church. Mm-hmm. I also went looking for Christian fellowship. And one day I went looking for Christian Medical Fellowship, which I was a part of when I was in Ghana. However, I didn't find any in New Orleans on the campus at LSU. But then they directed me to one of the students on the medical campus who also went and directed me to another student. And they said, what are you looking for? I said, look, I'm from Ghana. I'm looking for a group of students who worship, who fellowship, who love the Lord. And because I'm a believer and I'm new in town, I want to be part of their congregation, part of their fellowship. And so they said, what are you looking for? I said, well, I just want to know, where do they worship? What are some of the opportunities for growth? And so that's how we started. And I was able to get introduced to one of the folks who were leaders of the Christian Medical Fellowship on campus. And as it turned out, they went to the same church that I was attending on the West Bank. So we became very good friends. We attended Bible study together. We became very, very close. Unknown to me, I didn't know that there was young women in the church who had their eyes on him. And I didn't know that. And it was very hard to separate the two of us. So I innocently went along wherever he went to. But this young lady thought that he could get the two of us to come along. We had to go out on like a dinner or some kind of going out. But then, you know, I was black. I was a foreigner. I was from Ghana. So she came up with this creative idea that I have a friend from Ghana. Mm-hmm. And would like to meet a friend from Ghana. I said, sure, like to meet people. And so she's a very nice person from Ghana. And so that was the beginning of the process that we went through. So the long and short is that June was from Ghana, and she called June. And so I have someone from Ghana, and maybe June can tell you what happened afterwards. Maybe June can tell you, but long and short, June wasn't from Ghana, and I thought she was from Ghana, and she wasn't, so she was from Guyana. So, you know, there's a big Atlantic Ocean that separates Ghana from Guyana. But then that is how I even got to hear about June. And through that, my friend was not interested in a girl, and he declined. But then I'd already been introduced to June, and we became very good friends on the phone. And we talked for almost 3 months before we met. Even before we met, we became very good friends. We shared the scriptures. We prayed on the phone. She was in school. She shared her problems. I shared my, you know, separation from my family, and I shared that. So we prayed, and so we became very good friends on the phone before we met 3 months.
And you knew pretty much when you met that this was going to be possibly your answer to prayer.
When we met, I've been praying. I mean, the longer we talked on the phone, I saw that, you know, there was something unique about her, and she liked to pray. And I also like to pray because I thought that prayer is one of the surest way to commune with God and to get to know him and share the scriptures. Right. And so, you know, there was some bond of friendship that was unique. And so I said, Lord, who is this girl? And I've never met her before. So, but we became very good friends on the phone. And so one day she said she'll come meet me. And so we decided to meet. And when I met her, I said, look, you know, this is not real. I mean, this is Lord. This is somebody special that you're bringing in my life. And, you know, she didn't know I was praying. So I wasn't praying particularly for her, but in general, I was praying the Lord should guide me and direct me so that I do not make any mistake in terms of relationship to choose the right person as I grew, as I get along.
Yeah. Well, I know a lot of your story, June, because of this book, Carol's Closet, and you take us really through a lot of your life journey, your faith journey, your family, your children, how God brought you to this country, the struggles, racism, or the many different things, the hurdles you had to overcome and help your children overcome. It's a wonderful book, and I highly recommend it. And so we're going to talk a little about the book, but I feel like I've gotten to really know you through many of the storytelling. You give a lot of details from the different recipes that you're cooking to the things that you're experiencing and some of the struggles. But God's been pretty core to your life growing up in a family that attended church. But take us through some of your testimony and faith journey.
Yes, thank you. When I came to the United States, I would not consider myself a strong believer or anything. You know, I grew up going to church, like you said, in Guyana. But I think my faith was made stronger after I stopped over in Barbados. Some things happened to me that forced me to face my reality. Is there a God that can help me? In retrospect, I knew that that's when it started. He watched over me. He protected me. He brought me to the United States. And through very trying times that I went through in my book, I had to come face to face with who he is and how much he loved me. I came to know him personally as my Lord and Savior. And so when I met Dr. Gama, I knew that something was happening, and I would always have conversations with him asking, is this real? Is this from you? And in my book, I go through some really funny stories about how the God of the universe could actually speak into your heart and your life if he wants you to be directed by him. And so pretty much that's what happened to me. I knew that he was the one. And I had to say yes.
And you did experience a number of heartaches with the loss of your mother. Their dream of your mom and dad coming to America, starting a new life, excited about the potential. Mm-hmm. Your mother's only here a few weeks, and she had had an illness, but because of medicines and not having the money to purchase it, which is kind of a segue into where God has called you to help people with health issues. And we'll talk maybe a little about that, but talk a little about coming to America, wanting to be there for your mother's funeral, and because of the time delays and trying to get your visa and all that was taken days and,
weeks and
walk
months.
Through
months.
That. Yeah, months.
Yes, yes, yes. The immigration system is very trying. It's a very difficult thing to navigate. Number one, if you're coming from a different country, you need to have a visa, immigrant visa, to come into the country. And once you're here, your visa has a certain time when you need to either get a different type of visa to allow you to stay here and work, or you have to leave. And in my circumstances, I knew I could leave because of the loss, and I wanted to be there for my dad and my youngest sister. And so I spoke about the struggles of that. And then again, I had to trust God again to be able to find the right immigration lawyer in New Orleans who could help me, and which he did. And, I was able to finally get regularized, where I could go to school and continue to get my education, which I was always very important to me, to get my education, because I saw it as a way out of poverty. And I was able to go to school and eventually aspire towards the American dream.
Yeah, and you mentioned in the book, and it's filled with so many different stories, and I want to make sure everyone gets this website so they can purchase copies, because I think they'll be delighted in just the story and the life lessons learned, and it awakened my eyes to a number of the struggles that maybe I'm unfamiliar with. But if you stop by JuneWoodAgamah.com, and it's June Wood, AGAMAH, JuneWoodAgamah.com. You can find out more information about this book and purchase copies. And that's a cute picture of you on the front. How old are you there?
22.
22 years old. And you and your family, hardworking. Education's very important. So you studied, you applied yourself, a good athlete. I saw even the mention of table tennis. I played a lot of table tennis. You played tennis and table tennis, and athletic, as are your girls, very involved in the community. But it's a great read and a great book. But you saw God so many times provide through people.
Yes.
Whether it was wisdom or financially or help or assistance or, I think, a place to stay. Yet you also, as you've walked and grown in the Lord, you've seen him at work in and through you. And I think you've had a few different Walmart stories where God was at work refining your character, but yet also opening up your eyes to various needs. Take us through some of what I would call Walmart God sightings.
As an immigrant, you come here and you put your head down. And you just focus, you study hard, you work hard, you do the things that would get you from point A to point B. And oftentimes, for me personally, you don't look around. And I think God wanted to get my attention, because one time I was heading towards Walmart, busy. I just came from, I think, a Bible study or something at church, and I'm just running into Walmart to get something, and I heard this voice. And it said, "Ma'am, could you please look at my book?" And I turned to my left, and I saw that there was a gentleman sitting in a wheelchair. I stopped. I said, "What is the book? What's the name of the book?" He told me a little bit about the book, and I asked him how much it was. And he said it was $10. So I took the $10 out and gave it to him. I took the book from him, and then I said, "Can I give you a hug? I'm so proud of you for writing your story." I hugged him, walked over into the front of the Walmart, and tears was just bursting out of my eyes. And I kept thinking, I felt so embarrassed. I said, "God, why is this happening?" And I felt like the Lord said, "I want you to look. I want you to pay more attention to those people." And there were other times when I went to Walmart and I was in line, and this lady, she just paid forward by, I'm in the back, I'm in the line behind her. She pays for my grocery, and I'm so embarrassed because I'm thinking, wow, you know, I don't really need her money, but I wish someone else was there. And then God would say, no, you know, I want you to know that I see you, I know you, I love people. And you need to look at people more. And then the third Walmart story was, it was deep in the pandemic, and I was busy again trying to check out. I went to get one more of my paper towels that I really didn't need. And I looked across. The Lord said, look across there. I felt these two people looking at me. And I looked across, and Lord said, give them the toilet paper. Mm-hmm. I said, okay. So I said, would you like to have this? And she said, yes. And I knew that God was saying to me, you know, yes, there are people there that need things. And I think it helped to solidify it in me, in my purpose for what we do in Ghana. You know, every year we take mission trips to Ghana, and the people there are so in need. And when God brought my husband and I together, we knew that it was for a greater purpose than ourselves. And I want my husband to tell you a little bit more about what we do in Ghana.
Yeah, and in fact, I'm already thinking I'm going to have Tim continue this interview on an upcoming Thursday to talk very specifically about the mission work in Ghana, because I think that is a whole program in and of itself. So we're going to have you back to talk about that and how maybe people can get involved in the unique work and calling that you've had, providing health services and building the hospital there and working with them. So that'll be a special maybe Thursday program with Tim. But I want to go back to the Walmart illustrations that you shared in our closing few minutes, mm-hmm. because this is a tendency I have when Pastor Jason's on. I take some notes and things strike me, but oftentimes we can find ourselves too busy. And I was thinking of the story of the Good Samaritan, you know, where the religious leader, he's busy on his way to do the Christian thing and get to the temple, and the Sadducees, you know, he's another religious scholar and he's very busy, but it's the Samaritan that stops and really helps the person. And I think we all have that tendency, especially you're a go-getter, both of you work hard, you know, achieve things. We got agendas and plans, and they can even be healthy things. Even in a radio ministry, I can be so focused on the project that the people can be left behind. And so that was a good reminder for maybe all of us that we need to pause and talk to people and treat them with respect and care and compassion. And then I wrote, accepting God's blessing. You know, here you were, you have a good job, your husband has a good job, you're living in the suburbs, you're making ends meet, you have money and cars and availability to do many things, go on vacation, you have good food, and yet it's kind of sometimes hard to accept God's blessing, that somebody wanted to pay for your groceries, what you were purchasing, and it's like, but I didn't need it. But then you learned, hey, God's just loving on me today. And so sometimes we need to just accept God's blessing to us. And then I wrote a third thing, sharing with others, that toilet paper, something as simple as that. But for those two older ladies, that was very important. And you had like the last toilet paper maybe in the store, and yet they were stunned and encouraged and I think really blessed. And sometimes it can be something as simple as just toilet paper, sharing something like that. It doesn't have to be thousands of dollars or something significant. It can even be a kind word or holding the door open for maybe a mother bringing in a child, or very simple things, kind, compassionate words. So God continues to be at work in your life, and I highly recommend this book. You can find out more at junewoodagama.com. That's junewoodagama, AGAMAH.com. It's called Carol's Closet, and it was her journey of sharing with her children and friends and family members what God was doing in her life, some of the many struggles that she had to go through, how he provided, a lot of life lessons that will help us understand to have compassion and love for people different than us. There's one human race, but God has created a lot of varieties. I think of one of my good friends. He said to me, he goes, Mark, you're just the brother of the lighter hue because of my whiteness and his darker colored skin. And I think your book really helps advance us to look at all people as God's human race that he delights to work in. And he loves color and variety. I mean, that's how God made animals and made us. And so let's not let our skin tone or our economics or our education or other things prevent us from just getting to know people different from us, because you'll be super blessed. And it's God's design. That's why he's created humanity with different gifts and abilities and talents. And so I appreciate this book, June. And thank you, Dr. Edom, for being a part of today's broadcast. And I'm going to see if Tim can have you on a Thursday in the coming weeks to talk about your missionary work. I think 30-plus times you've gone over, and there's a hospital now, and you're helping so many different people in so many different ways. So I'll get with Tim after this program, and we'll set up a Thursday where you can come in and share very specifically about that. But find out more about this book, Carol's Closet, at JuneWoodAgama.com. That's JuneWoodAgama.com. So I'm going to close out with a portion of a song by Alicia Williams, The Color of a Man, as a reminder to us all that God is the creator of the human race, and he delights in the variety of colors that he uses for men and women. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.